Greetings. Welcome to CDK Ministries Podcast, an ongoing series of biblical sermons and talks delivered by Reverend Dr. David Kaler. I'm Pastor Dave. To get more content, including a link to the YouTube version of this sermon, go to cdkministries.com. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's head over to the worship service to receive a word from the Lord.
If you would, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 15. Verses 1 to 3. Paul continues his discussion from chapter 14 on how believers should relate to one another, especially when there are disagreements regarding obedience to God's commands as it pertains to moral conscience. We find our best example and our hope in Christ Jesus, the living Word. The Word of the Lord from Romans 15, verses 1 to 13. Receive now what the Spirit is saying to the church. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles find hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let us pray. O bright and living word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may see your ways. Fill us with your light through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. So at Hunterdon Christian Church, they had a combined service with a church that's also using the same building. And that other church, Limitless Church, was sharing how they recently had a member join their congregation who recently converted from the Muslim faith. And we often see a lot of that stuff happening elsewhere, but it certainly happens here, happens amongst us. And if you would, just sort of entertain something for me for a minute, because I want to give some context to this scripture about what Paul is talking about and what Paul is trying to address here. And I want to sort of translate it into today's terminology, today's topics. So imagine that we're getting ready to have one of those famous, you know, Scotch Plains Christian Church potlucks, you know, where, at the one end, you got all the nice, delicious salads, and it goes, moves through the courses, and at the other end, all those tasty, yummy, sweet treats at the end, right? So imagine that, and imagine that we also have a few converts that just recently converted to Christianity, recently accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they're with us, and we're all together, we're all pretty excited. And now imagine everybody's starting to fill up their plates and get down to the middle, and all of a sudden, what do they find right there in the middle of the potluck supper? Aunt Ruth's ham. Let me turn up the heat a little bit on this conflict. Because not only is this meat maybe a surprise and maybe a conflict for the convert, but if this person doesn't take it, by golly, we're going to be offended. Why? Because Aunt Ruth just died 3 months ago. And this was Aunt Ruth's ham. And Aunt Ruth has been with this church since it started. And, you know, taking away this ham would be like taking Aunt Ruth out of the room. Y'all feeling the conflict now? You feeling the tension? See, what Paul's addressing here was not blatant sin, not where our bodies go and do something that is against God's commands, right? It's not like our bodies go and murder somebody, or our bodies go commit adultery, or our tongues lie or cheat, or our bodies steal something. It's, you know, when that happens, it's very clear in Scripture. We call one another out on it, we repent, we make amends, we move forward in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nor is it on the other side of the spectrum, where it's first world problems. It's not the right paint color. It's not the right carpet color. It's not the right brand of coffee. That stuff, let it go. Not worth the conflict, not worth the fight, let it go. Somewhere in the middle, it's how do we decide as a church what we do? See, because these Gentiles were starting to come into the fold, they were starting to recognize that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. And they were okay with having Aunt Ruth's ham. It was delicious. And you had some Jews who realized this is the Messiah. But they were struggling with not so much the hard and fast Ten Commandments, but this is also an act of the body. And if I partake of this into my body, it's going to be an abomination to the Lord, who I hold so highly and dearly, who is Lord of all and who is holy. And I'm doing something that's unholy. And so Paul starts talking about in terms, we who are strong have an obligation to bear the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. What's he talking about? There's three types of responses, common responses. I'm sure there's more than three. It's a big wide world. But let's sort of talk about three common responses that might happen in this type of circumstance at the potluck dinner table. Go with my way. That is Aunt Ruth's ham. You are going to put that on your plate. You're going to sit down. We're going to eat it. There's the highway. I'm out of here. I can't deal with this. I'm gone. And then there's God's way. God says right here, we have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Moreover, he gives us an actual command. I know it says, let each of us, but in the Greek, it's an imperative. It's a command. Let us please his neighbor for his or her good to build him or her up. It be my way, the highway, or God's way. That your being built up, my being built up, is more important. Our being building one another up is more important than my way or the highway. That takes a lot of strength, right? That's why Paul starts talking about, you know, the weak and the strong. And it's not so much that, you know, inferior, superior, but it's where we derive our strength from. I will be the first to tell you that I have fallen prey many times to products that have promised me strength. In this period of my life where I had a lot of caffeine drinks. And I realized how bad they were. Then I started just having pure caffeine from coffee. I just realized that wasn't all that helpful either. I've fallen for those products. You know, if this will help you feel more confident. It will help you feel stronger. Get this product. Get that product. Buy this thing. Buy that thing. It'll give you strength. Strength of character. Strength of purpose. But Paul very clearly says that our strength comes from Jesus Christ. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. We see this perfectly and clearly up on the cross. And even before that, we see it perfectly and clearly here in this Christmas season. That Jesus, Lord of all, there at creation, creating things, things created from him, by him, for him, chooses not just to enter into creation, comes as a baby. No way he's going to survive. Nothing he can do for his own survival as a human being. Totally reliant upon his mom and dad and the community. That's how much he humbled himself. That he who is on the throne of heaven is now using a mother's lap as the throne of God. He grows up, and that humility doesn't stop. Takes it to the cross. Dies for us. A shameful death. That we who believe in him might be forgiven and saved. And he rises from the grave so that we who trust in him have eternal life, and life abundant. That is our strength of character, our strength of purpose, our strength to endure and care for others who may not be as strong, comes from Christ's example. And we can say, if that's my Savior's way of doing things, then let me try to be like that as well. And there's more to this passage. There's more than there's more than what we can get from just these verses. It goes on to say, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." So bear with me. I want you to hold on for just a few minutes, because this is going to take a little bit to unpack. In Webster's Dictionary, it's defined as hope is an expectation of future good with no guarantee. And this is why we have the myriads of workings of hope here in America in 2023. There is a wish. I hope you have a good day. I hope you have a great year. Simply a wish. It's not going to, I don't know what's going to come true. Really, we should be saying, I wish you a good day. I wish you a good year. But people can use the word hope because there's no guarantee. It's an expectation of future good with no guarantee. Or there is sort of the hopeful optimism. Some people combine it and call it hopetimism, where I hope to have a good outcome. I hope to have a great job. I hope to have a great retirement. I hope that, you know, whatever you set your mind and your will to, an expectation of future good that's rooted in the will. Again, an expectation of future good rooted with no guarantee. Both of these things come from a sense of self-agency, from my own wish, my own will. And that's why we can say it's an expectation of future good, no guarantee, because we have no control. But there is a hope that transcends the point that we have assurance. And that hope is rooted in the spiritual promise we find in Jesus Christ. So our expectation of future good is rooted in a spiritual promise. It's rooted in the promise of Jesus Christ. As much as I would like to say I hope to live as long as to see grandkids in my life, I can't really hold on to that hope, proclaim it in any way. What I can say is my hope is in Jesus Christ returning. That is an everlasting hope. That is a truth. And why is that a truth? Because the promise maker is also the one who has fulfilled promises already. It's true. There's still no 100% money back guarantee on this sucker. But past performance predicts future behavior. That the one who has already fulfilled promises will come back and fulfill the final promise that he gave us. I'm coming back for you. And that is what hope is, an expectation of future good that's rooted in a promise. And that's what the Holy Spirit is talking to us through Paul in this. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. What was written? Bunches of promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Find them all throughout Scripture. These promises that we can hold on to, that we've already seen fulfilled. And here's what it says, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. How does that work? So we've gone through life, and we've shared some of your stories with me. I've shared some with you. We've seen and heard some of the things we've gone through. Some of the hardships we have faced. Some of the troubles we have endured in this life. And as we're enduring them, the Lord shows up, and those promises ring true. Maybe you had time and you had no income. Maybe you had time and you had no place to call home. You were displaced. Maybe you had no source of friendships or relationships. And God's promises kept ringing in your ear. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am an ever-present help in times of struggle. Be still and know that I am God. And as we're enduring those things, we begin to get encouraged because we see those things still ringing true. And as those promises ring true, we find encouragement. And as we share that together, we glorify with one voice what God is doing in our lives, in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our family, in the heritage of the church. That this is who God is, and this is where God is taking us, to the promised land. And Christ is coming back for us. Verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. We got our second commandment right here in verse 7. And this is what God wants us to do at the potlucks and at our workplaces and in our homes and at our tables and in the community. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. There's that word promises again. And we're going to find Paul listing promises, not just from little tiny corner of the Bible. He lists it from the entirety of the Old Testament. He lists it from the Pentateuch, from Moses, Deuteronomy. He lists it from the Psalms, from David. And he lists it from the prophets, Isaiah. There's this whole overarching thing that this light that I want you to be to this world is not just for you to hold on to yourself. It was my intention all along to have the Gentiles at the table, to have the ham eaters at the table. This was my intention all along to have those on the outside come in. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. That this hope that we hold on to, not a hope that we're going to have years worth of health, not a hope of we're going to have a wonderful outcome. Hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. Take us home. That's not just ours. That's for everybody who walks the face of this earth, who is willing to receive that Jesus Christ died and rose again for them. In him will the Gentiles hope. So in the midst of this conflict, and any of these conflicts we might have out there in this world, as we talk to people about spiritual things, as they begin to say, well, why do you not ever wish, or why do you not ever tell me that you hope you have a good day? Or, well, because that's not my hope. I'll wish you a good day. I desire you a good outcome. My hope is nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I'd love to tell you about it. Well, I'm not sure I'm ready to hear that. That's fine. Jesus told me not to shove it down your throat. He said just to build you up and to welcome you. That's all I'm going to do. Whenever you're ready, I'd love to take you out for a cup of coffee. And we can struggle some more. Because God's word has just told me now that it's in these struggles that our hope becomes alive and real. That it was at this table where they were not sure about the body and the food, that they found that in that struggle, the hope became real. That promise that was, that once was, the promise that the Gentiles are coming to the table, the struggle now shows they're at the table. And the fact that struggle showed they're at the table encourages our own hope, our future expectation of good, that Jesus Christ is coming back. So these things that once seemed like struggles to us, that once seemed wearisome to us, are actually encouragements for our own expectation of future good, rooted in the promise of Jesus Christ our Lord. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. O God of light, as heirs of your promise, guide us by your eternal purposes, that we, the church, may make your wisdom and hope known to all we meet this week. Through Christ.
Thanks for tuning in to CDK Ministries Podcast. For more great content and upcoming live engagements, visit cdkministries.com. May the Lord bless you deeply.